Welcome to the Newtown Big Dreams Podcast, an interview-style talk show that's your gateway to the fabulous and fascinating people who relocated to start a new life. Whether you're new to our podcast or your city, our fellow neighbors from across Canada, North America, and the entire English-speaking world share their stories of reaching new horizons and big dreams. So sit back and relax as we navigate in-depth and intimate conversations with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, executives, creatives, and anyone who can share their story about their Newtown big dreams. And now, here's your host, Luke J. Menkes.
So, Jay, thanks so much for coming in on a Monday.
Yeah, no problem.
I really
problem.
Appreciate it. So you've been coming to Kelowna for business for about 8 years.
Yes.
And you live in Vernon.
In Vernon, yeah, you bet.
So tell us the story of how you started coming to Kelowna for business.
Sure, yeah. It started about 8 years ago with my company, Bare Nature. Mm-hmm. And I'm an herbalist, and so I was making lotions and creams and soaps and stuff out of plants. And it was the Kelowna Farmers Market, actually, that got me to come here.
I see. So yeah. You had a booth.
I had a booth at the Kelowna Farmers Market. That's right. Yeah. And the Kelowna Farmers Market is just kind of known for being really great for vendors. Like, the people are really nice. There's lots of tourists in town. And the locals are really just open to supporting small local business, open to trying new things, open to conversations about different ideas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I did a stint of that for about, 4 years? Yeah, 4 years.
Cool. So yeah. Let's back up a little bit. How did you become an herbalist?
Well, after quitting the corporate world and just really connecting with my roots and where I came from, I knew I wanted to do something with natural health, and I just started studying plant medicine. It's really a rabbit hole of, like, you're always learning. It's not like you take a course and now you know all the things. Like, there's so many different interpretations, different regions you can learn about. So I find it really fascinating.
Is there, on that topic, is there anything new when it comes to plant science? So I know there's traditional plant medicine, and a lot of cultures have that. And it's been going for millennia.
Yes.
What's up, that truck?
Oh, must be a neighbor, yeah.
Yeah. We have an old diesel truck from the person that lives in the suite.
Oh, okay.
And it's interesting the way audio works, but the software tries to clip, you know, very intense sounds.
Right.
Because it recognizes it's not part of, you know, our conversation.
Sure.
And so it just went totally silent
in
my ears. And then you hear like a vibration, but. Anyways, it's gone now.
Okay, that's good.
So, like, I know plant medicine and plant-based products have been for thousands of years, you know, across the world. Is there anything like that's kind of new that people have discovered that you're aware of?
Stuff all the time comes forward. A new plant that's being cultivated in our area, actually, that not a lot of people know of, is the Hascap berry. So that was developed by the University of Saskatchewan.
Interesting.
And what is intriguing about it is that the flower can take up to a minus 15 frost. So it's great for growing in colder climates. Mm-hmm. And the antioxidants on the Hascap berry are, like, off the charts. Like, way higher than a goji berry or a blueberry or anything like that. So, yeah.
There's always an idea. What do you do with it? Do you put it in a smoothie?
Yep. Or you can just eat them. Salad? Yep. You can make sauce out of them. A lot of local brewers are making, like, beer and ciders out of them.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So you can do lots of stuff with the Hascap berry.
And can you buy it locally?
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's quite a few Hascap farms in the area, and a lot of them are getting certified organic.
What would you compare it to as far as taste?
Kind of like a blueberry meets a Saskatoon.
Neat.
Yeah.
Oh, I love blueberries and Saskatoon berries.
Yeah.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah,
that's really
good.
Cool. So you've always kind of been into plants and that kind of science. And so you made products mostly skin?
Yes, yeah, like skincare products and stuff. Like, my passion would be to, like, help people with plant medicine, but like, there's not really a market for that yet. And so I took what I knew about plants just to make some, like, simple remedies for, like, skincare and if you got a scratch or...
Yeah. And do you still do that?
No.
You said 4 years.
Yeah. I sold that company to my sister, and she is still doing it. And she's doing a great job.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so what did you do after that?
So after that, we started, well, kind of during, it was a transition. a friend of mine and I started a not-for-profit community co-op in Lumbee called Monashee Community Co-op. Mm-hmm. And it's run by volunteers. It's been operating for 5 years now. And they just hired their first paid employee. Like, it's really exciting. I'm not a part of it anymore, but that was a great transition to the retail food world because mm-hmm. I had a lot of connections with the farmers from working at the farmer's market. And then the co-op kind of got me just learning a little bit more about our local food systems. Mm-hmm. And then from there, Farmbound was born as like kind of a challenge with this permaculture design course that I took to connect, just finding a need in the community. And there was a real need to connect people with the farmer, especially in Vernon in the North Okanagan. Like there's a few farmers markets, but they're not really convenient for people. Or, you know, if you can't park and bring cash and you don't want to walk around with your kids, like how can you get local food? And so we created an online platform for people to order and then we deliver it to them.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So what is permaculture? For those of us who don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't even know what the proper definition of it is, but I interpret it as looking at how nature exists and operates and then kind of mirroring that both in our lives, in our business practices, and our farming practices. Mm-hmm. So rather than trying to fight nature, it's like, how do we be a part of it and use nature, how it naturally exists to kind of create.
And it makes me think of the word sustainability too, mm-hmm. like something that's permanent. You're not going to damage it by cultivating a certain plant or doing something, but you're kind of in harmony with the system.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Existing in harmony and even maybe bringing it back to regenerative, like past sustainable, because I think we've done a lot of damage. So the conversation now it's like, okay, how can we sustain, but how can we regenerate what's been destroyed?
Yeah. Mm. So I know a lot of nutrients in the soil have been lost because of chemicals and over farming and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about the business now. It's called
Farmbound.
Farmbound.
Yeah.
And tell us how it works. And
sure.
Yeah.
Customers go online and they subscribe to a box and they can set their frequency. We fill it up with what's best and local and fresh and organic every week. The service exists year round. So we order in from California in the winter and it's very flexible. People can change things around. They can swap things in and out. They can add on cheeses or bread or meat. And then it goes out to them. And so we ship in the North Okanagan and Central Okanagan. We do home delivery. Mm-hmm. And then to northern communities, it operates kind of like a Sears pickup depot where it'll go to like a boutique store and then people pick up their orders once a week. Yeah.
And how did you get clients?
Like, all social media.
You're right.
All Facebook.
So you just started from scratch. Like you obviously knew people from your previous ventures.
Yes.
You had some connections?
Yes. I had a lot of connections with the local farmers. Mm-hmm. So the supply, getting that sorted out was already there. And then I just went on, we just did social media campaigns.
Nice.
That was it. Yep. And Facebook built my business.
Do you do the driving, the deliveries?
No. We've hired that out. That was the first thing we hired out. We did do them in the first few weeks, though. The first actually few months. It was a lot of work. But.
And how do you hire people? Like in general. So in an economy where we've got pretty close to full employment, a lot of times it seems that the people who are looking for work aren't necessarily the best.
Yeah.
Right? The best people are often taken.
Sure. Yeah. Right?
So how did you get good drivers? Did you just put ads in?
Yeah. Actually, most of our best employees come to us. Because our business is really purpose driven and they want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a real movement for people wanting to find employment or run businesses that really are in alignment with their values. And that's more important to them than money or, you know, prestige of a career or something. It's like if they can participate in something that is going to create a better world, they really like that. So, yeah, the best ones that we've had have come knocking at our door.
Right.
Yeah. And we hire based on values, because those people fit in with the team really well and fit really in with the business. Like we've had some people who are maybe really great at certain tasks, but if they were like sandpaper with our vision, it was like, it just didn't work. Even if they could have been the best at doing these tasks, if they don't fit with the culture and what we're creating, it just, it wasn't as cohesive as when people come in, maybe not with those skills, but they're like really in alignment with our purpose.
When it comes to social media, did you find one platform more effective
than the other? Well, that's changed. When we first started, it was all Facebook. Mm-hmm. We just started with Instagram like a year and a half, 2 years ago. And but I've done all of our social media and just very trial and error and just really like, okay, what's working, what's not working, mm-hmm. you know, I'm probably the worst person to ask about like, what do you do for social media? Cause it has no structure. Yeah. I just like, yeah. Oh, okay, we'll try this. Oh, that worked. Okay. Do more of that. Oh, we'll try this one. That so yeah. So we started a lot with Facebook when we first started the business. And then now it's a lot of Instagram.
Great. Yeah. So Instagram, what would it look like? Would it be a photograph and little caption?
Yeah. Photograph and a caption and then lots of storying. And storying so we can like build the connection of like our integrity and who we are and what you're getting and exciting new things. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's great that people don't drive so much, you know, just going to pick up a loaf of bread. And the more stuff we can get delivered, I think that's good.
Yeah.
You know, it's good for traffic jams and it's good for the environment.
Totally.
But what is a typical budget for one of your customers
look like? It really depends. We have customers that spend as little as $35 every couple weeks mm-hmm. with us. And then we have some customers that spend $500 every week with us.
Wow.
So
is that big families or restaurants? Or?
Yeah, big families. Yeah. Big families. Yeah. Because we offer organic meats and stuff too, which can be a little bit on the pricier side. Yeah. And if families are really committed to that, then I mean, even people not eating organic, I think it's really common for a family to spend $1,000 to $1,500 a month on groceries. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, $400 or $500 a week buying organic is not really...
Yeah,
it's that crazy.
That's right.
Yeah.
And do you have grass-fed beef?
Yep.
And so on? That's yep. great.
Oh, sorry. We did. We lost our beef farmer. He's no longer doing beef, so we're on the hunt again. But we have pork and chicken and wild seafood.
Nice.
Yeah.
And lots of fruit, lots of vegetables. Yes,
that's the majority of our business is fruit and vegetables.
Cool. Yep. And do you have any vegetables that if I went on your website, I'd be like, what is that? Like an
oh, how many uncommon ones? Yeah. I hope lots. That's kind of what we pride ourselves in is having all the weird things
yeah.
that people get in their box and they get challenged. Like, what is this? What am I going to do with that? Right?
So we don't exactly select or would we like, how does it work?
Either
are we going to get a surprise?
Yeah, you can get a surprise or you can go in and modify. So we'll put, say our medium box is $55. We'll put in $55 worth of fruit and vegetables of market price that week. Mm-hmm. And then you can either just get what you get or you can go in and say, I don't want that item. I'll switch it out. And then you can add things to what's called your never send list. So if you're like, I hate mushrooms. And if there's mushrooms in the box that week, it'll automatically take it out for you. And then we'll get a notification and say, okay, we'll pick something else to put back in.
How many people are involved in the operation now?
Employees?
Yeah.
I think we have, it changes all the time, but I would say between 6 and 8 at the warehouse. Wow. And then we probably have 5-ish at the store downtown, maybe 7. Yeah, I can't remember.
And tell us about your store downtown.
Yeah, where Zero Waste Store. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So this is a new store, right? Mm-hmm. And it's in the location where the soup place used to be.
That's right. Yeah.
Little Homo. Yeah.
Yeah.
My office used to be directly across the street.
Oh, no way.
For 3 years. And I really miss just being able to walk to buy great stuff. So is it a grocery store?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have organic produce. We have... some dairy, lots of vegan options, and then dry goods and some frozen items. Like we have some chicken and sausages and so many good things. And then, but actually our biggest sellers, interestingly enough, aren't necessarily the grocery items. It's the zero waste living supplies. So like, beeswax wraps are like things to make your life easier if you're going zero waste, reusable Ziploc containers, silicone bowl covers, things like that. And then also the personal care and home cleaning. Mm. So toothpaste and deodorant and laundry soap and things like that.
I see. Mm-hmm. Tell us the concept behind zero waste. I saw an article on it.
Yeah.
But for the listeners who didn't catch that article, what is the concept behind zero waste?
So zero waste is a movement towards less packaging and eventually maybe zero packaging, which I think is really challenging. And the term zero waste can be a little bit overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And there's a really great quote, and I can't remember the person's name, but it said, we don't need a few people doing zero waste perfectly. We need millions doing it imperfectly.
Right.
So it's like, what small changes can you make to reduce your packaging? So the concept of the store is you bring your own container, you take the weight of the container when you enter the store, you fill it with what you need, and then you check out and the weight of your container is deducted from your bill. Yeah.
And beeswax paper you mentioned. So what's that about?
So that's instead of using saran wrap, a single use plastic wrap, it's like a sheet of cloth, and it's covered in beeswax, so it's kind of moldable. Mm-hmm. And then you can cover your vegetables with it or bowls.
Nice. And it's reusable.
That's right. You just wipe it off.
And you just wipe it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So you wouldn't want to put it, like, under warm water or anything like that.
Yeah. If you use warm water, it can kind of melt away the beeswax. Yeah. So you just I just take a cloth and wipe it off just when I'm done with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool. And what other cool products do you have like that?
Ooh, yeah. Our top sellers right now are the beeswax wraps, the reusable Ziploc bags. So you can freeze in them. And then you can even, say if you have pasta sauce left over, you just put them in the freezer and then you can take it right out. And the silicone doesn't leach, so you can just put it right in the boiling pot of water and cook with it.
Oh, cool.
Silicone.
So it's like a reusable container.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's flexible like a Ziploc bag.
Mm.
Yeah. And so you can put liquids and stuff in it.
Yeah.
And the silicone bowl covers are a big one. So they're kind of like stretchy and they fit over different size of bowls. Mesh produce bags. So you're not using the single-use plastic produce bag. They say that a plastic bag is used for an average of 3 hours. And then it sits in the landfill for 300 years.
It's terrible.
Right? So you can just, you know, use your mesh produce bags to get onions or whatever.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So they like... the same as what we get at the grocery store, those kind of mesh bags, or are they different sizes?
I don't understand the question.
Yeah, so I've got a trunk full of mesh grocery bags.
Yeah.
And they're all the same size. So I just put like fruit and vegetables right in there.
Yeah.
I don't need extra plastic because I'm going to wash it.
That's right.
Or if it's a banana, I'm going to peel it.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
So is it like that? Is it those kind of canvas bags? That
No. Yeah. They're more see-through, like knitted or something like that.
Right.
And so you can see through them and they're kind of stretchy.
So you might have like one for each type of vegetable type thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like
they're smaller.
People traditionally get those little plastic bags off the...
Exactly. Oh, it's to replace those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... washable?
Yep. Yep. You just throw them in the laundry.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you just said you have some cleaning products and some personal products too.
Yes.
So what, tell us about the toothpaste, for example.
Toothpaste. Yeah. So we have a few options. It comes in a jar, and you can buy the first jar and then you bring it back and we'll refill the jar for you. Or we have toothpaste tablets and they come in a compostable container and it's like a pill and you put it in your mouth and you crush it. It's called Crush and Brush.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it kind of foams up and it's like a single use thing. And it's great for, those are really great for traveling because then you're not bringing like a tube that could get messy everywhere.
Right.
Or for people for hiking because it's really lightweight.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And could it get accidentally crushed? Like, is it super fragile?
Well, no, the container comes in as like a cardboard container.
Oh, I see.
So if you want to travel with it, it's going to stay solid.
Yeah. Right. As long as you don't like stomp on it.
Yeah. I mean, and if you stomped on it, it would just be like some chiclets that you broke, right? Like not toothpaste squished everywhere in your bag.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
We have a smoothie bar and kitchen, a wood fire pizza truck that's opening.
Uh-huh.
And so the fruit stand and the pizza truck will be open in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And the cidery just opened up on June the 8th.
Oh, exciting.
And yeah, it's been so much fun. Like, we are just having a blast with it.
I love cider. So how many different lines do you have?
We launched with 5. It's all certified organic from our own apples and our own cherries. So we have apple dry and semi-sweet, and then a cherry dry and semi-sweet, and then one called winter banana, which is going to be our competition cider.
Mm.
And then we have all of our base aged and ready to go. And as the fruit season keeps going, we'll release different flavors. So we have apricot coming next and maybe some blueberry and some pear. And
cool.
Yeah.
Is it all carbonated?
Yes.
All of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you thought, and I'm curious, Syed interviewed Truck 59 mm-hmm. Cidery, and he said, yeah, it's all carbonated.
Yep.
When I was younger, I seem to remember drinking ciders that were not carbonated.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Like the homemade ones, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe homemade, but even at the store, I thought I remember buying some that were...
not carbonated?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see people not doing that. That would be more of a traditional way to drink cider.
Yeah. But he told me it doesn't exist. Like, there's nobody actually making...
uncarbonated cider.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's an interesting one. Yeah, we haven't thought of that. I've looked at some different carbonation techniques with, like, nitrogen and stuff that we might be releasing
mm-hmm.
to kind of gives it, like, a velvety flavor. But, I mean, now that we got it all set up and ready to go, now is, like, the fun creative part. Like,
right.
How many different flavors are, like,
yeah.
things can we come up with
so much
that are all organic?
And what's the winter banana?
Yeah, that one's that one's more of a traditional cider. We made our apple cider base with dessert apples, which are like the Ambrosia and the Nicola and the Granny Smith. So the apples that are really delicious that you see in the store. Mm-hmm. Traditional cider is made from more heartier apples like crab apple, and there's like cider variety apples. But we're finding that the dessert apples, like they have depth, they have a little bit of astringency, but they're also a lot easier drinkers for the everyday person. So the winter banana is made from all cider apples. So it's like a cider lover's cider.
Okay. Yeah. So where does the name banana come
from? Banana. That's the variety of apple. Oh. They're huge and they're yellow and they have notes of banana on the nose and the tongue.
I see.
And they were very popular before refrigeration because they're very hardy. So you could put them in your cold room and then they would last all winter. And then when we got these fancy new things called coolers, suddenly we could store apples that were a little bit more delicious.
Yeah. I never knew there was an apple called winter banana.
Yeah. I
assumed it was a banana.
Yeah. That's what everybody thinks, that you add banana flavor to it. But no, it's just the apple variety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super cool. And are you open 7 days a week?
Yep.
Up there?
Mm-hmm.
What hours?
Monday to Thursday, Sunday to Thursday, we're 10 until 9. And then on the weekend, we stay open till 11.
Nice.
Yeah, because we have a lounge license. So we have other people on tap, including Chuck 59 and some of our friends down the South Okanagan. Russ from Chuck 59 and Isaac actually took the cider making course together. Mm. And they didn't know each other. And they showed up there in Hood River, Oregon. And they're like, you're from Kelowna, I'm from Kelowna. And then they've just been supporting each other.
So cool.
Learning together.
Yeah. So we can come up and have some cider. Is there a lot of food to choose from?
Like
the pizza. Yeah. It's going to be installed pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah. We bought the wood fire pizza truck. And so we just have to get it all re-inspected and improved under our own license. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as that happens, we'll be ready to rock. And then we have charcuterie and cheese plates that are there 7 days a week. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have a Broken Anchor food truck there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How do you find time to sleep?
That's a really good question. Yeah. No, I've been mentored by some really amazing women. And it's a group called Living in Balance, and it's mentorship for women entrepreneurs specifically because we can overdo it and end up burnt out and all the things. So I've been really careful to create everything around me in balance so I don't take myself out.
Would you take us through a typical daily schedule?
Oh my gosh, I don't do that. I don't do schedules.
No. Okay.
I have a hard time with appointments just because I have so many businesses around me.
Yeah.
And
so you have to respond in real time to situations.
Yep.
But would you, be doing some physical exercise or some meditation or shutting your phone off? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of people are kind of nervous about getting into business.
Yeah.
There's a saying, when you run your own business, it's great because you get to decide which 18 hours a day you're going to work.
Yeah, it's very true. I think entrepreneurs are born, they're not made.
Right.
You just have to be that type of person that can always be on and always be off.
Yeah.
So I can take a little break throughout the day and go do some yoga or take some quiet time, but then I still kind of always have to have my finger on it. I've learned in the recent years, the value of actually getting to places where there is no cell service. So there's no temptation to just check on things.
Yes.
And so I find that I can usually go about a month, 2 months, and I need to take at least a couple of days of that. And if I don't, it really starts to wear on me. I just need that recharge.
Yeah. So little breaks throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then every so often, 2-3 days.
Exactly.
To completely shut off.
Yeah. Just to completely disconnect.
Yeah.
And, but you know what though? Like, I almost wouldn't have it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you love what you do.
I love what I do. I love business. I love starting new business. And so as soon as things start to get easy, I start creating something more.
Right.
Yeah.
Need a new challenge.
Totally.
Yeah. And do you think this new outlet on Highway 97 is going to keep you busy?
Oh, yeah.
And challenged for a while.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When did it open?
June 8th.
June 8th it opened. Because I've been seeing it under construction for a long time.
Yes, it's been under construction for about 2 years. And it was interesting because the Zero Waste store was supposed to open in September, but then we got flooded out twice. So I was supposed to have like 8 months of like it running before the cidery opened, and they actually opened within 60 days of each other. Wow. So it's been a big push.
Yeah, so you've got staffing and all kinds of logistics.
Yes.
And the flooding. I heard about that. Was it a plumbing issue?
Watermain.
Watermain. On the street.
Well, it was when it came into the building, because it was an older system, like the way they had set up, so that it came into the building and then took a sharp turn. Mm-hmm. And so it was at the point where it was coming in, the pipe wasn't big enough to handle the pressure as the water system expanded in Kelowna. Yeah. And then it just blew it off. So, yeah. Yeah. So they had to like rip out the floors and reroute everything. And it was, it was a lot, but it got figured out.
That's something.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, it's a great place to stop, I guess, if you're getting on a flight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Come for a cider.
Drop off your luggage, come have a drink, and then jump on your flight, and the capsule will be right over.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else we should... oh, I did have a question.
Yeah.
You mentioned, you said our apples. Do you have a farm?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so Upside Cider's on 18 acres of organic apple orchard.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's 45, the Sunreal is the biggest organic, certified organic farm in Kelowna. And there's 45 acres of both our land and then other land that we've leased. And so we do apples, pears, cherries, plums, nectarines, and peaches, and Coronation grapes.
So you harvest those, you sell those, you make cider with some of those. Mm-hmm. And do you sell them wholesale to anybody else?
Yeah, Isaac's father started the Coston Cold Storage down in Coston, which is the largest organic packing house in Canada. And they do about 17 million pounds of organic fruit a year. And so whatever we don't sell ourselves, we send down to the packing house and then it gets distributed.
So you mentioned the butterfly effect with your store downtown.
Yeah. It's really amazing just to watch and see little stories that people come to me with just by having this idea of looking at our waste and their consciousness. Like I had Lisa from Urban Harvest. She does this amazing business where she, similar to mine, where she delivers organic food. And she said, we were thinking about our waste usage and we went through everything and we've decided not to bag this item, and this item. So how many bags is that saving? Another friend of mine who would never have considered himself really an environmentalist. He travels down to Mexico every year for the winter. And he said every time he went for dinner, you know, single guy, goes out to eat a lot, he always brings his takeaway container with him now. And he's got a backpack and he just, and then people were asking, oh, what are you doing? And you say, well, I'm using this takeaway container and saving this many, many containers from the landfill. Like, and so it's just beautiful to watch the change in the conversation that's being stimulated. So it's like this little tiny store with 800 square feet. You know, the intention was never to be like, I'm going to open this store and make blah, blah, blah money. Like, of course I want it to be successful, but it was always the bigger picture was the motivator behind that store.
Profits are important because you can keep doing it.
Yeah.
But what is that concept, the butterfly effect? I've heard that term before.
Right. So it's like the butterfly flaps his wings and then a hurricane starts over in a Catholic Christ the Word. So it's like it builds and it builds and it builds. So this idea or this seed that gets planted just from even people hearing about the store, they may not even enter it. And they might go, oh, you know, I'm going to do this thing differently. Like there's just so much going on with the waste reduction movement. Like that this is so shocking because it's not just a counterculture movement anymore. It's like, it's more mainstream. There's a baseball tournament in Vernon called Fantastics every year. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
It's huge. And they have like, you know, big beer garden and bands and people come from all across the province, BC and Alberta to play baseball. And they have a beer gardens and they take the beer and they pour it into a plastic cup. And they've actually pushed back with the liquor board saying that don't want to do that anymore. So next year, no plastic cups. And that's 30,000 cups from one event that are being
tremendous.
Saved. Isn't that amazing?
It's tremendous. So if sports facilities could start doing some of this, that would be huge. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge baseball fan. Grew up in Toronto, went to hundreds of Blue Jay games. And I mean, you see, if you stay long after the game is over and you see the janitorial staff and they're massive, huge bags of like cans and cups and plastic and junk. And it's just horrific.
From one baseball game.
From one game. One game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you may know that Major League Baseball, they play 162 games a year, not including spring training or playoffs.
Right.
162 a year, every team.
Yeah.
You know.
Every team plays that amount.
Every team. 162. Wow. So 81 at home, 81 on the road. Everybody plays 162.
That's
and,
amazing.
And, yeah. And, you know, your hot dogs and beer and plastic cups, it's like...
Yeah.
Tremendous amount of waste. So,
but most companies now will accept Like, if you bring a reusable container,
yeah.
if you're like, oh, I'm going to the baseball game, I'm going to bring my cup, I'm still going to drink my beer, but instead of them pouring it into theirs, they'll pour it into yours. Most companies are like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, nobody really shuns you. When you go to get takeout food, mm-hmm. I'll phone them. I'll just be like, I'll bring my own containers. They're like, yeah, no problem. Great. And they just fill it up and off you go.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're doing amazing work.
Thanks.
And we all appreciate it very much. So thank you for the updates on your stores.
For sure.
So Jay, I know you know hundreds of people. Would you like to nominate one or two or three people to come Absolutely. On the show?
Yeah, Kristen Wild from Mason Jar Lids. She's a gal that's Kelowna born and raised and has this really amazing company.
Awesome. And what do you like about her?
I love her positivity and how she just goes for what she wants.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Newtown Big Dreams podcast with your host, Luke Menkes, and his authentic guests. And we love our listeners and hope you subscribe now to learn more about the amazing journeys of our incredible guests who relocated to find a Newtown Big Dreams. And remember, make your dreams big.